Good afternoon. This is KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for tuning in. Residents living in avalanche-prone downtown neighborhoods got the all-clear to return home today after the city lifted its last remaining evacuation advisory this morning. KTOO's Clarice Larson has the story.
Mary Moore is finally preparing to leave Juno's emergency shelter at Centennial Hall. She's been staying there with her brother since last Friday, when the city issued an evacuation advisory for residents in all known slide paths downtown and along Thane Road.
I know that snow avalanche is nothing to play with.
Moore lives on Gastineau Avenue, which borders the city's avalanche hazard zone and has seen multiple landslides in recent years. She evacuated with her brother because they were scared for their safety. Moore is in her 60s and is disabled. She says living away from her home has been stressful, but she's grateful to have a safe place to hunker down.
You know, it's much blessing because there ain't nowhere else to go out except outside. So this is a real blessing, and helping out the people that needs it in a time of need.
Moore was one of 13 people to stay at the shelter Tuesday night, according to Britt Tonneson, the Community Disaster Program Manager for the American Red Cross of Alaska and Southeast. She says more than 50 people used the shelter over the 6 days that the risk of large avalanches loomed over downtown neighborhoods and Thane.
The partners that came together, I think, did a really incredible job and utilized the limited resources we have in Juneau, brought in what was needed, and cared for people. To the extent that we could.
The Red Cross plans to close the shelter on Thursday morning. Some evacuees stayed with family or friends, including Carlos Cadiente and his wife. Cadiente says he returned to his home in the barren slide path Sunday night after looking at the remaining snow on Mount Juno and deciding he felt safe enough.
Well, that's a relief. You know, I'm happy that the big one didn't come down. I mean, nobody got hurt.
But now he says his basement is flooding, and he thinks it's because of some of the shingles on his roof are too short to shed water away from the house. The Barron's neighborhood evacuation advisory ended Wednesday morning, after the advisory for all other neighborhoods ended Sunday night. John Brissett is an avalanche advisor at the city and borough of Juneau. He says the city didn't decide to lift the evacuation advisory lightly.
I think people can feel good about going back to their homes.
Concerns grew again on Tuesday due to winds forecast to reach as high as 60 miles per hour overnight. But Brissett says the city's new radar system did not detect any new avalanches on Mount Juno overnight. And on Wednesday morning, drone flights showed him that previous undetected avalanches at high elevations had happened earlier on the barren slide path. Then the rain and warm air melted a lot of the snow that would have made a large avalanche possible.
Overall, snow levels being reduced quite a bit by all the rain, especially in the lower elevations where avalanches have a tendency to entrain more snow. There's just not a whole lot of snow left for that to happen.
But he says people in avalanche zones should keep go bags packed in case conditions change. With help from Alex Solomon in Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And avalanche risk rose over the weekend as more snow and then rain pounded Juneau. Meanwhile, staff at the city's emergency warming shelter for unhoused residents relocated operations 3 times in 2 days. When the city issued evacuation advisories for high-risk areas of town on Friday, it said the shelter along Thane Road was too close to historic avalanche paths to stay put, says St. Vincent de Paul director Jennifer Skinner. The warehouse that the city and the nonprofit use for the shelter is right below the red zone on the city's avalanche map.
It was intense to realize that we were going to have to relocate our operations to, at that point, an undisclosed location, and we were on standby.
The shelter serves an average of 45 people who don't have another place to sleep each night. Shelter staff packed up everything they could, including a refrigerator, in an hour and a half. Skinner says she was preparing for an avalanche to prevent them from accessing the building ever again. First, the city told them to move to the Marie Drake building.
And we completely 100% reset there. And as we were finishing, we're hearing the roof and we're hearing all these cracks and creaks and such. And so we contacted our city officials again and said, hey, is this safe? And he said, you know what? Get out. Let's err on the side of caution.
So warming shelter staff evacuated that building, too. They had to make a safety plan with the fire department to go back in and get all the equipment they'd moved in. The city and Red Cross of Alaska has made Centennial Hall available for residents in avalanche slide zones. But city emergency manager Ryan O'Shaughnessy said the city wanted to avoid housing the two groups together, citing concerns over potential drug use and hygiene. So the city identified Sit Itishinach Glacier Valley Elementary School as the only available building for the warming shelter. The school had closed for part of the week so crews could shovel snow off of the roof. With the help of a moving company, Skinner says they were able to set up at the school. They finished setting up an hour before the shelter opened at 9 p.m.
So that was a huge success for us to not miss. We didn't skip a beat. Our patrons were not impacted at all by having to reset.
The warming shelter operated out of the school for just one night, and 44 people came to stay. Then, on Saturday, city officials determined the Thane warehouse to be safe enough for Skinner and her staff to move back in. Some Juneau residents raised concerns on social media about temporarily housing the unhoused population in an elementary school. City Manager Katie Kester spoke to some of those concerns at Monday's Juneau Assembly meeting.
We had a thorough inspection, a thorough cleaning of the facility. But really for life safety of those residents, we had to make that decision and we had to make that decision quickly.
But Skinner says she mostly saw support from Juneau residents during the crisis.
I can't express how my gratitude to community members and community businesses that are so willing to step in and step up when we have a hard time and help us problem solve and just be like, we got you.
The emergency warming shelter is once again operating out of its usual location in Thane, with transportation to and from the Glory Hall, which provides meals and other day services. Avalanche risk remains high, and the city's evacuation advisory is still in place for residents living in the Barrens Slide Path. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cremery. A Juneau-born athlete is headed to Italy next month to represent Team USA's biathlon team in the 2026 Olympic Winter Games. Last month, 24-year-old Maxim Germain made the team for the event that combines cross-country skiing and rifle shooting. This week, Germain spoke to KTOO from Germany, where he's racing in the Biathlon World Cup. He says he's very excited to represent Alaska, as well as the U.S., in the Olympic Winter Games.
There's a lot of opportunities, especially our sport has never had a medal. So we as a team, are very excited, and I am very excited to get that opportunity this year.
Germain was born in Juneau in 2001, but he says his family moved away after about a year. Then, after living in Hawaii and France, he returned to Juneau for another year to attend kindergarten at Sayek Gastineau Community School.
I didn't ski when I was a little kid in Juneau because there was no snow and also I was too young. But it made me appreciate the wild as well. Like I like training in the mountains and open area like Alaska.
He then spent most of his youth in France, but returned to Alaska when he was a teenager, where he graduated from West Anchorage High School in 2019. During his time in Anchorage, he trained with the Anchorage Biathlon Club and raced for the APU Nordic Ski Center. Germain says he's grateful for his time in Alaska. He says living and training in the state was pivotal for his career. He pointed to other successful skiers that have come out of the state, like Gus Schumacher, Luke Yeager, and Zandon McMullen.
The Alaskan community in Nordic is awesome. Like, we're one of the highest producer of like high-end athletes in the country, but especially in Nordic.
The 2026 Winter Olympic Games in Italy begin in February 6th and run through the 22nd. And a small population of grizzly bears makes its home above the Arctic Circle, occasionally coming into conflict with human development, and even polar bears. But not much is known about them or how they find enough food to survive the extreme winters. As Shelby Herbert reports for the Alaska Desk, researchers are strapping cameras to bears to better understand their lives out on the tundra.
You're hearing a male Arctic grizzly bear stomping across the northern interior, foraging for berries. He's one of a dozen camera-wearing grizzlies monitored this summer by researchers with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and Washington State University.
And it's a slow process, but so far we're seeing like a really wide range of things.
Ellery Vincent is a PhD candidate at Washington State and is heading up the project to study the subpopulation of grizzlies, which is made up of only a couple hundred bears. She says the bear's currency is calories, and the tundra is in short supply. Way up north, the growing season is short, and Arctic grizzlies have to hibernate longer, sometimes up to 8 months out of the year. Vincent says the cameras are giving them clues as to how the bears make it work.
Like in the springtime, when there's no vegetation and there's snow, they're utilizing overwintered carcasses that have been sitting on the landscape. And then once the vegetation emerges, they're eating a lot of like horsetail and bear flour, and then a lot of berries.
Vincent says some bears even hunt caribou, both calves and adults. In recent years, caribou herds across the Arctic have taken a downturn, and there's been controversy about the role predators like bears play. Mark Nelson is the area fish and game biologist for northeastern Alaska and a partner on the bear monitoring project. He doesn't believe that Arctic grizzlies are making a significant enough dent in the herds.
There's very little evidence that predators are actually driving these population changes.
Nelson says the department's main interest in the project is learning about what sorts of habitats they're using and when. He says that Arctic grizzlies aren't a popular hunting target by themselves, but some caribou hunters up north take grizzly bears too, if they see one. And the data from this study can help Fish and Game sustainably manage the population. Nelson says Fish and Game is also hoping to gain a better understanding of human interactions with the bears, which are known to wander around oil and gas developments, as well as the Dalton Highway, which cuts through their territory.
And trying to understand how we can minimize and mitigate those, you know, interactions and concerns we see on the slopes.
Practical matters aside, Vincent, with Washington State University, says it's been exciting to have a window into the lives of this understudied subpopulation of exceptionally scrappy bears. She says they even caught some surprising bear romance.
It's known that males will follow the females around for a while as they're breeding. But what we found is that they really follow each other around for quite a bit of time. Like, if all their needs are being met, like, it almost looks like a couple of the bears were playing, which was really unique and cool because, you know, it's tough out there and they're trying to survive.
She says she's pleased with the data they've gathered so far, but the project is still in its beginning stages. They have two more years ahead and dozens of additional bears to catch and attach cameras to. Reporting in Fairbanks, I'm Shelby Herbert.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, there are no more emergency alerts, warnings, or advisories. It's 37 degrees and lightly raining. There's a chance that we'll have a little bit more of dry weather through the weekend. This is KTOO.